Today's daf in Masechet Brachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Aleph, and we are holding on daf Chof Amud Beit. At the Halakha Mishnah at the bottom, Balkeri Maharher Belibo, Ve'eno Mevarech Lo Lefaneh Ve'lo La'achareh. So remember that there was a Takanat Ezra that was based on the very strange events at Har Sinai. So Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, did not give any kind of azhara about people who were Tamei, and if somebody was a Zov, or a Baal Nida, or a Tamei Mace, whatever it was, there was no problem whatsoever about going ahead and listening to Kabbalah Satera and being with everybody else. There was only one thing that was awesome, and that was the fact that for 3 days you had to be Perish Min HaIsha, and this was in order that both the male shouldn't be a Balkeri, and the woman should not be a Poleta Shechva Zera, because since sperm survives for 72 hours, and this is Gufa where we learned that din from, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want any din of Tumas Keri on Har Sinai, which is very strange. Because of it, Ezra HaKohen, who was a Keneged Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Gemara says elsewhere, and he was the one that gave over Torah again to Klal Yisrael, even the Tzura of the Isis that was there in the Luchai Sarishenim, that's the discussion of the Gemara, he reinstituted that Torah should be learned in the way that it was Mekubal on Har Sinai. And since we can assume that the specific nature of Keri is what it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makpid on, and this because of the entire interrelationship of the sexes that is so nogea, a general lessening of a sense of seriousness and machshava tahira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by definition, because it requires, even though it's l'shem mitzvah and so on and so forth, but it requires, even as we see by Yitzchak Avinu, misachek et Rivka Ishto, so it requires a level of schok. Schok relates to Kalus Rosh, and therefore Ezra felt that in order to ensure that Torah would always be learned the way it was on Har Sinai itself, he made this incredibly difficult gezerah, which was that you cannot learn Torah unless you are tevel for Keri. Now that original gezerah, there's a question whether it was only on Limud Torah, or whether it also included brochas, tefillah, and so on, which our Mishnah is obviously taking for granted, or whether that was an additional gezerah that was accepted afterwards. The way the Rambam understands what happened, and the Rambam's approach is very beautiful in terms of explaining many of the difficulties of the sugya, is that this takana, like all other takanas, needs to be popularly accepted. And if it's not popularly accepted, it becomes automatically batal. So what happened, says the Rambam, is that after a certain amount of time, it became clear that the Tzibor was unable to maintain this takana, and because of that, it simply dropped away on its own, because a takana that is not mekubal becomes batal. Okay, we'll see how this helps to explain later a lot of the difficult Gemaras. In any event, so long, by the way, it's very fascinating, the Rambam writes in a letter that he personally never missed a tefillah for Keri, and that he was Mekayim this din of Ezra, even though later on we're going to see that they were Mevatel, the need for such a tefillah. But in any event, so long as the Gezerah was in effect, and this was still true at the time of the Mishnah, so the din is like this. He can only be Maharher Belibo, according to the Tanakhama, and he's not allowed to say the words of Kriyat Shema, and he doesn't even think the words of the brachas before and the brachas afterwards, that in a mevarech even in his mind, lo lefaneha velo la'achareha. What about on food? So when it comes to food, he's mevarech la'acharav, because birkat hamazon la'acharav is dioraita, and therefore, since it's dioraita, he is able to be mevarech belibay, but he's eino mevarech lefanav, even belibay. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mevarech Lifnehem Ula Achrehem. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's completely irrelevant. That's one way of understanding it. And he would be mevorach both before and after, whether it's a diorayta, whether it's a drabona, whether we're talking about birchas kriyashma, or whether we're talking about birchas amazon, before or after. And there's a machloket, we're going to see how we'll try to fit this in our sugya, a machloket, whether this means that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you should even be mevorach bepeh, or whether all Rabbi Yehuda is arguing about is whether you should be mevorach behirhur. Now this has to do with the sugyas, the way they develop both in Yerushalmi and the Bavli, and we'll see more about this later. Let's take it kipshutai, which is the way Rashi seems to take it, that it means Rabbi Yehuda holds your mevorach even with your voice. Omer Avina. Zot omeret, hirhur kedibur dami. Diz hakadach alav kedibur dami lo mamar her. This Mishnah implies that if you're thinking about something, you would be yotze. And that thinking about it is exactly the same as saying it. Because if it's not, why would the Mishnah say you should think about it? For what possible purpose should I think about it? I'm not doing anything by thinking about it, am I? He says, well, what do you mean? Just the opposite. If you hold that hirhur is the same as saying it, so then you might as well say it. If you're telling me it's the same, so go say it. No, you see, interestingly, when it comes to the question of whether you're yotze, you may be able to be yotze by thinking, even though you don't articulate it. But when it comes to the question of the takona of Ezra, Ezra based the entire halacha on the model of Kabbalah Satera. By Kabbalah Satera, people weren't thinking, people were talking. They were? Yes, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking. That was talking b'kol. And the din is that shomea ke'oneh. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, everyone was saying over the Divrei Torah at Har Sinai. Therefore, in order to make the takana, all you have to deal with is articulation. In order to be yotze, don't articulate, but think. And then you will be yotze with your mind. That's how I see it, says Ravina. Rav Chista says, I see it exactly the opposite. I see that hirhur from here is not kedibur, because if hirhur was the same as articulation, so then you're not allowed to be maharer, or you might as well just say it. I don't understand, Rav Chista. So then if it's not kedibur, what is the point of being maharer? I mean, that was Ravina's whole riot, no? Amar Rabbi Elazar, there is a point. The point is that it is absolutely inappropriate for everybody else to be Isaac and Kriyat Shema, to be Mekabel or Malko Shemaim, and this guy is watching TV. I mean, that's crazy. It looks really terrible, like he has nothing to do with the Amun of the Tzimur. So, Akol Olam Haskim Bo V'Yosheva Batel? All right, I understand, but why does it mean he would have to be Maharer in Kriyat Shema, or be Maharer in Birkat HaMazon? That's crazy. Let him be Mahar in whatever he's learning. Maybe Masechet Kelim or something. I mean, nobody knows what he's thinking anyway, right? Because it's much more appropriate that he should be thinking about the same thing that the Tzibur is working on. Now, wait a minute. What about Tefillah? Everybody is davening. Now, is that a Dovash HaTzibur Oskimbo? Yes. And nonetheless, it says Beferish in the Mishnah later that if he was standing in the middle of davening and all of a sudden he remembers, oh my God, I'm not supposed to be davening. I wasn't Teva for my carry. Lo Yafsik. He shouldn't stop smack bang in the middle of the davening. Ela Yikatzer. He should say just the essence of each bracha and finish as quickly as possible. But meanwhile, we see that's only because he began already. But if he didn't begin, he shouldn't begin. Why shouldn't he begin? Why is he not chayev at least to go ahead and to be mahar on the tefillah? No, tefillah is different. Kriyat Shema has Kabbalas Ol Malko Shamayim. That's why it's inappropriate. Tefillah doesn't have Kabbalas Ol Malko Shamayim in it. Okay, and Birkat HaMazon, where the Mishnah says Birkat HaMazon, you're supposed to be Maharer. And Birkat HaMazon la'acharav, does that have Malko Shamayim, Kabbalah's Malko Shamayim in it? No. And it says Beferish in the Mishnah that you're supposed to be Maharer on Birkat HaMazon. How do you explain that? Okay, never mind. Forget everything I said. The difference between Kriyat Shema and Birkat HaMazon on the one hand and Tefillah on the other is that those two are midiraisa. Masha Inkein Tefillah is only Dirabbanan, because even according to the Rambam, who holds that Tefillah is Dioraita, it's not Dioraita at a particular time, and it's not Dioraita in particular words or brachas. I'm reviewing them. How do we know that Birkat Hamazon is Midiraita? Shenemar v'achalta v'savata uverachta. How do I know that Birkat HaTorah lefaneha is Midiraita, not afterwards? Shenemar kishem Hashem ekra havu godel Elohinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu is about to say Shirat HaZinu, and he's telling everybody, I'm going to say now, opening the Shira with a brocha, and you respond by saying Amen. Omer Rav Yochanan, okay, so now we know Birkat HaTorah before, but I can tell you that you have to say Birkat HaTorah after reading from the Sefer Torah, and I'll learn that out from a Kal Vachomer from Birkat HaMazon. And I can show you that you need to make a bracha on Mazon before eating. I'll be able to learn that out from a Kal Vachomer from Birkat HaTorah. Here's how I will do it. Birkat HaTorah la'achareha min Birkat HaMazon mi Kal Vachomer. I'll say like this. Look, Mazon does not need a bracha before it, anywhere in the Torah. It doesn't say anything about it. It says, achalta v'savata, and then uverachta. So obviously, the acharav is what's more chomer, and it's tol la'acharav. So kol shekein Torah, which requires even a bracha lefanea, as it says in the Torah, eno din sheteuna la'achareha, so we can learn out from Birkat HaMazon that it would definitely require bracha after reading from the Torah. And I can prove that Birkat HaMazon before eating has to be said from Birkat HaTorah, from the same Kal Vachomer in the inverse. If Torah, which does not require a brocha anywhere in the Torah, it's not written that there's a brocha after learning from the Torah, nonetheless, it's ta'una a brocha before learning from the Torah. Mazon shu ta'un la'acharav, eno din she ta'un lefanav. So certainly, it would require a brocha before if the Torah insists on making it afterwards, says the Gemara. Oh, come on, I mean, that makes no sense at all. I mean, you obviously are dealing with totally different issues over here, right? I mean, the point of the mazon, what are you making a bracha on the mazon? For the pleasure that you got from the food. Well, I mean, the pleasure that you got from the food comes after eating, not before eating. So therefore, it would make sense that the Torah would be mechayev of you afterwards. When you're coming to make a bracha on Torah, you're making a bracha on the opportunity given to you to be able to be oisek in something that is maybe chayim. It's not that when you finish, now something lingers in you. So the point over there is, of course, you're making a bracha before. But they're so totally different that to try to make a Kal Vachomer from one to the other is silly. So what are you trying to say? Mala mazon sheken neneh u'mala Torah sheken chaye olam. Not to mention that it said beferish in the Mishnah. Al Amazon, you only say, if the Balkari is Maharer, he is Maharer only la'acharav, and not lefanav, which we've only been able to explain by saying that lefanav is the Rabban and la'acharav is the Oraita. Therefore, it's a tiyufta. Omer of Yehuda, if you have a question, now this is getting us directly into the issues of what elements are Deoraita and what elements are Derabana. A very simple way to jump directly into the deep water on that issue is to see where there's a suffix, because a suffix on a Deoraita would be Lechumra, and a suffix on a Derabana would be Lekula. So here's the best way for us to analyze it. Suppose you're not sure if you said Kriyat Shema. What do? Eino chozer v'koreh. You don't have to go back and read Kriyat Shema. But if it's a suffix, if you said the bracha of emet v'yatziv or not, then you do have to go back and say emet v'yatziv again. Why? Because shockingly, Rabbi Yehuda holds that Kriyat Shema is only a derabbanan, whereas emet v'yatziv is a deoraita. Now that sounds absolutely crazy. The Gemara, of course, is going to ask, what about b'shoch b'chov kumecha? I mean, it's only b'feresh p'sukim that you have to say Kriyat Shema. We'll get to that. But how in the world would Emet V'yatziv be Deoraita? Because Emet V'yatziv is talking about Yitziat Mitzrayim. And Zecher Yitziat Mitzrayim is in fact Deoraita. So if you had not read Kriyat Shema, and you have a suffix if you had read the Emet V'yatziv, the part of Emet V'yatziv you should definitely say, because you need to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Kol Yemei Chayecha. Now obviously if you already did that in Kriyat Shema, then Emet V'Yatziv would go back to being only Drabbanan, because you were already Yotzi, your Dioraita. And therefore, Tosfos asks the obvious question. So then if we're talking about that you have to have missed both Kriyat Shema and Emet V'Yatziv, so why not just go ahead and say Kriyat Shema instead of the Emet V'Yatziv? Okay, Tosfos has got some rather balabatish as far as to answer it, but we'll wait on this for a bit and first see the sugya. So the Masiv Rav Yosef says, I got a little bit of a problem with your shita. There's just two little words in the Torah, b'shoch b'chov kumecha. I mean, did you ever think about that? Meaning Kriyat Shema for God's sake? Well, obviously, Rav Yehuda understands that that does not refer to Hadvarima Eile as meaning these words of Kriyat Shema. It means these words of Torah, Moshe is telling everyone. These words of Torah that I'm teaching you should be Alevavecha b'shoch b'chov kumecha. It's not. What about our Mishnah? The Mishnah says, "Abal keri is ma'ar b'libo, ve'ena mevorek lo lefaneh ve'lo l'acharei, aval ha'mazon mevorek l'acharei ve'ena mevorek lefanav." Now, this makes no sense. If you're trying to tell me that Emet V'Yatziv is the Dioraisa, then why doesn't the Bal keri have to at least be ma'ar b'libo on the brocha of Emes V'Yatziv, so livrok l'acharei? My time in mevorek. Okay, explain to me. Why would he be saying this brocha? For Yitzias Mitzrayim? He just finished Kriyat Shema. So he said, Kriyat Shema. Okay, so then, fine. So according to you, then let's just say Emet V'Yatziv and not say Kriyat Shema, no? So Ne'emar V'lo Libo. No, I mean, Kriyat Shema obviously is better because this way you're going to be Yotze not only the idea of Yitzias Mitzrayim, but you'll also be Mekayim, this wonderful thing of the Chiev to be Mekabel of Omach HaShemayim and so on. That makes sense. Whereas Reb Elazar says it's exactly the opposite. If you're not sure, if you said Kriyat Shema, or there, of course, you have to go back and read Kriyat Shema because that's a Dioraita. If it's a suffix, if you davened or you didn't daven, then you don't go back and daven. Says Rabbi Yochanan, why not? What do you care? Go back and daven. What, you got a problem with somebody? All of a sudden, I davened up, as they say in Yiddish. What's upgedavened supposed to mean? How can you finish davening? So now you've got yourself, well, maybe I daven, so what the heck, it's a drabon and I shouldn't daven. On the contrary, go daven again. And as a matter of fact, this is how we paskin. Not only that, you do not even have to be mechadish anything in your tefillah as a suffix, because since you may be davening your primary chiyav and that's why you're davening, you don't have to have something that's a chiddush in order to daven. You can have in mind that tonight, that if I already davened, it should be a tefillat nedava. But you don't need an excuse for this tefillat nedava. The suffix is the excuse. Normally, if you're making a tefillat nedava, you have to be able to be mosif some dvar chiddush in the tefillah. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says when it comes to ma'ariv, over there, you should be mechadish something, because there are many who hold that since anyway miikra didn't feel as arvis is rishus, so Rabbi Yochanan would never have said over there halavashit palel kol alayla kulo, he said kol ayom kulo. If you're misupik about ma'ariv and you want to daven again mitzav the sufek, so then you should try to be mechadish something in your tefillah. Suppose you're in the middle of davening and you remember that you already davened. Stop. You can't have a tefillah that you're davening as a chovah when it isn't a chovah. So you stop even in the middle of a bracha. What? V'omer Reb Nachman, when I was by Rabba Bar Avua, we asked him what would be the din of Talmud Chacham. He's in the Beis HaMedrash, and he was davening Shmon Esrei on Shabbos. Thinking for a moment, which happens all the time, you start saying, Atachonin Lodom Dat, you know, and you just forget for a moment that it's Shabbos. What do you do? Now, I mean, according to what Shmuel said, you should stop, bang, right in the middle of the bracha, right? So we asked him, so what do you do if you realize, oh my God, I'm in the middle of the wrong bracha? And he said, finish the bracha. Oh, come on. What does that have to do with the case of Shmuel? Let me ask you something. Would you not really be chayev to say all of the Yutches brochas on Shabbos? Of course you are. I understand. Today you don't need that. Today you don't need tshuva. Today you don't need to destroy the malshinim. What is it you don't need on Shabbos that you needed on Chol? But the point is that the Rabbanan said, look, on Shabbos, because they covered Shabbos, we're not going to put you through all of this tircha of davening in such a lengthy tefillah. But if you started already and you're in the middle of a bracha, obviously say the bracha. It's perfectly appropriate for that bracha to be there on Shabbos to say Chayin Adas on Shabbos. But what Shmuel was saying is if you were in the middle of saying a bracha that Bechalal you weren't Mechuyev to say, then stop and don't say it. That's a completely different issue. So Atav Gavra Bar Chiyuvah Rabbonenu Delo Atrechu Mishum Kovet Shabbos. Avol Hocha Atzalimeh. He davened already. The Omer of Yeram Shmuel, another crazy situation comes up all the time. A guy finished davening, and he walks into a Beit HaKnesset, and he finds a tzibur that is starting to say Shmoneh Esrei. Now, what does he do? Im yachol ha-chadesh ba-davar yachzor v'yitpalel. So if he can say something new in his tefillah, then he should join the tzibur and say something new. But im lav, ha-yachzor v'yitpalel. On the other hand, if he was unable to be mechanish anything, then there is nothing that he can do. Now, the truth is, v'tzricha, we absolutely need both of the dinim that we have over here, because I would not know in the first case over there he was a yachid. All right, so maybe, look, I might have said that depending on the situation, if it's exactly the same, okay, if it's exactly the same, it makes sense. So that if he was already davened as a yochid, and now he has an opportunity to daven again as a yochid, and he's in the middle of davening, and he realizes he already davened, he's not gaining anything, and therefore he's just saying something for absolutely no reason. Therefore, telling me that you can't just say over a Shmoneh Esrei you already said, fine, I understand that. But what about if now you were in the tzibur? And before, you were in a yachid. Now, maybe over there I should say, okay, I mean, to have an opportunity to daven with the tzibur, maybe I actually should say it again. I don't know. Therefore, I need to have also the second mimer that if I was a yachid before and now I'm a tzibur, I also do not have to go ahead and say it. That's the point. So because of that, I need the chiddush. So could be yochid l'gavet tzibur, as if he never davened. Come on, Shmuel, that's not true. On the other hand, why not just tell us even this case? I would have said, because walking into shul, you did not start davening yet. So don't start. But suppose you had already started, then even if it was b'yachidus, I would say maybe, okay, you started already, keep going. So aim alo, at least finish the Shmoneh Esrei, at least finish the bracha. Tzricha, therefore, Shmuel has to tell me, no, if you realize you already davened, don't even finish the bracha. Another thing that happens all the time, you're late for davening. I know it's hard to imagine, but there are people who walk in late for davening. Now, what do they do when they have to consider, now, should I try to catch up? But if I try to catch up, then the tzibur is going to be saying Kedusha. I'm going to be in the middle of davening. I won't be able to join them for Kedusha. Or, let's say it's even after Kedusha. If I start davening now, the tzibur is going to get up to, and the Chazaras HaShatz is going to get up to Modim. Everybody's going to be saying Modim. I can't say Modim. Should I start, or should I just better wait until after they finish Chazaras HaShatz? What do I do? So, im yachol la'atchil v'ligmar shelo yageya tzibur l'modim yitpalel, v'im lav al yitpalel. Now, this is a little bit weird, because, I'll tell you why. If you work it out that their modim comes out in the middle of one of the other brokers of Shmoneh Esrei, you're allowed to bow and make it look like you're saying modim, right? So, I mean, people would not really be able to say, oh, he's not part of the tzibur. So this is not so clear. And enochinami lehalocha, if that's possible, then we don't have to worry about modim and we ignore the modim issue. So therefore, the next piece is much more nogea, Rabbi Yoshua. Sorry, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Are you certain that you want to interrupt the shir for this? It's just not clear enough for me to pick up what you're saying. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Omer, im yachol la'atchil v'ligmor ad shelo yageya shliach tzibur l'kedusha, it's kedusha that's important. Are you going to be able to finish before kedusha? So then, yitpalel. V'im lav, al yitpalel. Now, how the heck did Rav Huna ignore Kedusha, which is certainly going to be coming before Modim? So why did Rav Huna say the only thing you have to worry about is Modim? What are they arguing about? Rav Huna obviously holds that a yachid is allowed to say Kedusha in his own Shmoneh Esrei if he is davening along with the Tzibur. And therefore, he can say Kedusha in the middle of his Shmoneh Esrei. So he doesn't have to worry about finishing all Shmoneh Esrei before Kedusha. Whereas Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi obviously holds, no, no, you can't say Kedusha in your own Shmoneh Esrei. V'chein omer v'ada barava, how do we know, she'ein ha'yachid omer Kedusha, how do we know that Bichlal ha'yachid who doesn't have a Tzibur there, that's a different issue. Here we're talking about you have a Tzibur there. But how do we know that a Yachid cannot say Kedusha without the Tzibur? Shenemar v'nigdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Kol davar shebekdusha lo yeh pachot mi'asara. Of course, this is only half of the drasha. Remember, we have to be dorish. Toch. He badlu mitoch ha'eda hara'ah hazot. And toch ha'eda hara'ah is a reference to the Eda of 10 people, because that's the Adas, which we learn out from the Meraglim, Korach, and so on. But that's, the Gemara over here was Makatsu. My mashma, how do we know over here? The Tani Rab Noya Chui, the Reb Chiya Bar Abba, we learn out toch from Nigdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael. And it says, Yibadlu mitoch ha'eda hazot. And therefore, the Kidkal Korach was Asara, Avkan Asara. Now, this is, as I said, not the complete story, because I have to learn it out from the Gezerah Shava to the Meraglim, where we know that there were Asara. But as I said, the Gemara is being Makatsu. Anyway, but at least it seems absolutely clear that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi and Rav Huna both say, you're certainly not going to stop your tefillah in the middle to say Kedusha or Modim along with the Tzibur. That's for sure. But what about if somebody says Kaddish? Do you interrupt Shmoneh Esrei for saying Yehi Shmei Rabbah Mivarach or not? Ki Yosef Rav Dimi, from Eretz Yisrael, he said, I can tell you that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, both of them, Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan, said, you never interrupt Shmoneh Esrei except for Yehi Shmei Rabbah Mivarach. Over there, I don't care what you're doing, even if you're in the middle of being Isaac and Maaseh Merkava and the Malachim are standing all around, and you hear somebody saying Kaddish, you're going to have to stop, and you have to say Yehi Shmei Rabbah Posek. But we do not pask in that way. Let Hilchata Kavateh, and we are not mafsik for Yehi Shmei Rabbah. We are, however, we do ask the person who is being mispalel to be maharher. This is how the Mishnah Berurah paskins, that in the end we're going to be yotzeh with hiror kedibur, where there's no choice. So he should be maharher along with the tzibur, but since it's only hiror, it's not considered to be a hefsek. This involves all types of issues that we haven't been able to get into yet. Hopefully we shall as we go along. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, now let's go to the next piece of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, Balkeri says the bracha lifneyam, says the bracha l'achareyam. What does that mean? That he doesn't hold of the whole idea of a Balkeri being mutter's mutter, even in Divrei Torah? Is that what you're saying? I mean, look, I understand maybe you'll say the extension into brachas Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of, right? Maybe he holds that there's only an Isser on I don't know. But, I mean, that's a new thing. But Divrei Torah, he shouldn't be. It seems to me that it is actually a very strong raya from the Pusik that we should be makbid on it. V'om Reb Yehoshua ben Levi, minayin the Balkeri she'asr b'divrei Torah, she'nemar v'odatam levanecha v'livnei vanecha, yom asher amata lifnei Hashem lokecha b'chorev. So that's right next to that pasuk, mashman that the mitzvah vodatam levanecha levdevanecha, which is involved in learning and teaching Divrei Torah, has to be the same as the day that you stood in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Har Chorev. Just like on Har Chorev, Baalei Keri and Har Asurim, Afkan Baalei Keri and Har Asurim. I mean, that's a very powerful indication that the Torah is makbid. How is it that Rabbi Yehuda says that there's no problem of Balkeri reading Divrei Torah? V'chitem, and maybe he'll tell me that, what does one have to do with the other? Just because one pasuk is next to the next pasuk, that doesn't mean that if one has anything to do with the other. And indeed, we know that Rabbi Yehuda is the man di omer who is not Doresh Smuchin. And in general, he says you do not have a right to learn a halacha from the fact that one pasuk is next to the other one. Problem is that, as Rav Yosef explained, afilu man de lo Doresh Smuchin b'chol ha-Torah kulu b'mishnah Torah Doresh. When it comes to Dvorim, the Seder of the Psukim in Dvorim is absolute. and therefore he would be Derech Smuchin in Mishneh Torah. And these psukim are in Dvarim. Because, and this is how Rabbi Yosef actually proved it, it's from Rabbi Yehuda. Though Rabbi Yehuda is not Derech Smuchin, but Kol HaTorah Kula, and nonetheless, when it comes to Mishneh Torah and Sefer Dvarim, he is Derech Smuchin. How do we know that, by the way? Because, take a look at the Braita. Ben Azai says, it says in the Torah, Mechashefa lo techaye. It doesn't say, it says don't let him live. It doesn't say whether you're supposed to kill him with the electric chair or hanging or whatever. It just says don't let him live. Obviously, it would have to be one of the Arba Mises Bezdin, but it doesn't say which one. Ah, but the very next pasuk says, Kol shochevim beima mot yumat. So that teaches us some chuin, you know. What does shochevim beima have to do with the machashefa? To teach me that just like a shochevim beima is chayev in skila, because we learned that our gufa from the Lashon in the Pasuk, so too, a machashefa is meskila. Says Rabbi Yehuda, outraged, skila, the most chomer misa, what? Because you find, what are you, some kind of Hasidish Rebbe? Because of the fact that the Pasuk is nearby, you're going to take a guy out, and you're going to stone him? That's outrageous. You're right, however, the halacha is that there is a chiyuv of skila, but not because of you, not because of smuchin. Ella, the way that we know it is because, look, we have a halacha that says, davar sheyatza min haklal lo lamed al atzmo yatza lo lamed al kol haTorah kul, al kol haklal kulo yatza, right? We have a klal. The klal is mechashefa lo techayeh. Now, there's all kinds of different magicians. Included in that klal is Ovid Oni. And when it comes to Ovi Adoni, it says Beferish, even though Beklal Kolam Bechashvim Ayu. And there it says Be'even Yirgmu Otam. Why does it have to be special mention for an Ovi Adoni with Even? Lama Yatsun Lakishlam, to tell me that all of the Klal of Bechashvim, Lomar Lachama Ovi Adoni Beskila, Av Bechashifa Beskila. So the clear indication is that Rabbi Yehuda does not learn Smuchim B'kol HaTorah Kula. Now, when it comes to Mishneh Torah, however, I insist, says Rabbi Yosef, that he does. How do I know? B'Mishneh Torah Minol Ander Dorish? Because it says in the Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Nosi Adam Anusat Avim U'Mufutat Avim. A man is allowed to marry a woman that his father has been sleeping with but is not married to. So whether his father raped a woman or has a partner, a secret partner, whatever it is, there's no iser of marrying that woman. And a man can do the same for a woman who has been having relations with his son, as long as she's not married to his son. So anusat beno mufutat beno. Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree about the beno, but I aser a anusat aviv and mufutat aviv. And Rav Gidlam Arav said, I can tell you what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Why he holds that? My time in the Rebuta, because of a new pasuk, Tichtiv lo yikach ish et eshet aviv. Now, eshet aviv would mean that they'd have to be married, but then it continues on to say, velo yigale knaf aviv. What does the knaf aviv mean? Knaf aviv means that a son should not have intimacy with the robe, meaning the bathrobe that he took off of this woman that his father was intimate with, he should not be playing around with that same robe, so to speak. So it's a reference to a woman that his father had relations with. How do I know? What makes me say that? Because then the next pasuk says, Vinatana ish ha-shochev ima, the Chamishim Kesef, and that's the din of rapes, and that's all in Dvarim. So you see from here that Rabbi Yehuda does learn Smuchim when it comes to Dvarim. Says the Gemara, yes, he does indeed, but nonetheless, this Smuchim is not Dorish. The one about Yom Asher Amata Lifnei Hashem Elokecha B'Chorev, that it has to be Be'imah, B'Yirah, B'Ritat, B'Zeah, that is not Dorish. Why? Because even though the Mishneh Torah, he's Dorish, these particular Smuchim, he needs for another purpose. What is that? He needs this for another mimer of the same Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, because Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, Kol ha-melamed libno Torah, ma'aleh alav ha-katuv, ki'ilu kibla mi'har Sinai. The Lashon and Kedushin is Kol ha-melamed libno Torah, and this is the way that it's popularly remembered. Anyone who takes his grandson and is teaching his grandson Torah, it's as if he was mekabel the Torah on Har Sinai, because there it says, "V'hodatem levanecha levnei vanecha, yom asher amadeta levnei Hashem elokecha b'choreb." So you see that you recreate the day of standing on Har Sinai when you are mekayim v'hodatem levanecha levnei vanecha. Very powerful limud. But you can't learn out from here that the very act of limud requires you to behave as if you are standing on the Har Sinai.